envision three female attorneys coming together to have our voices heard. Each of us would have different opinions, different passions, different backgrounds, and different views. Although we are different and unique, we are able to come together to discuss our experiences, navigating through the legal profession and this thing called life. Now, the vision has come alive, and we invite you each and every week to listen to us as we talk about what's trending in the news and our legal insights. Tackle real life issues that affect not only us as attorneys, but us as women of color. Disclaimer: this podcast is intended to provide entertainment and general information. The information provided and the views given are not intended to constitute legal advice and should not be relied upon as legal representation. All views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever we are affiliated with now or will be affiliated with in the future. Hey guys, I hope everybody's doing well and had a good Juneteenth. We are here to discuss one of my favorite topics of 2020, real estate, home ownership. But before we get started, of course, we got to introduce ourselves, you know, introduce our favorite attorneys in Houston. It's your girl, Brandy. T. Hutch.
Hi, I'm T. Hutch. No, just kidding. Hey, guys, it's Taria.
Miss Sam.
Hi, Sam Frazier here. I wonder why Brandy's so excited about talking about buying a home.
And we're going to introduce one of the best realtors in the state of Texas, this side of the Mississippi, H-Town realtor. Please introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Hey, everybody. I'm Chris Jones. Everybody calls me CJ. And I just like to thank you, Queens, for allowing me the opportunity to sit down and talk with you today.
Yay!
Yes, Queens. Okay. I'm not mad about it. Okay. Let's get
to it. So the reason why we'll put it out there, Chris is my realtor, and I just recently bought a home, like closed about a couple of weeks ago, so I'm very excited.
You did it.
Home ownership.
Yes,
you did it. COVID. Adulting.
And about time. It's about time.
I know.
Welcome to adulthood.
You know, that's a real thing. But the reason and the purpose for this episode, because we are in trying times. We are in a pandemic. We are under Black Lives Matter. Well, we're in a race war. But I want to talk about in real estate the purpose of home buying in the Black community, especially because, as we know, a lot of people are not buying homes. And we need to push that envelope to try to educate our community on the purpose of buying homes, even if it's a good thing, because you hear a lot of myths. You hear a lot of rumors about home ownership, and is it even a good thing? So, like, let's go right into it. I want to discuss in the beginning, first of all, Chris, as a realtor, like, what do you do and what is the purpose of a realtor?
So basically, a realtor is knowledgeable about the rules and regulations of handling a transaction in Texas. So we're not attorneys by any means. However, we still are familiar enough with the ins and outs of these transactions to be able to guide somebody through the process.
So of course, you're my realtor. You help me with the process. But a lot of people, you know, don't want a realtor or feel like they don't need a realtor. So what is the purpose, like, versus you? Like, I could have done it myself, but I didn't. But for somebody who wants to do it yourself, like, what are your thoughts about that?
So on the buyer side, it makes no sense to do it by yourself because 9 times out of 10, the seller is going to pay our commission. So our services are pretty much free for you. So going into a situation where if you're not in real estate full time, you really don't know what you're getting yourself into in some cases. And it's a lot of different moving pieces that a realtor is taking hold of and kind of like playing the role of a project manager. So you have your own full-time job, you're doing your thing, so why not leave that in the hands of a professional?
Oh, I agree with you on that, because there was times when I was handle it, I can't right now.
Yeah, and also too, even from your experience, We do this full time, so we know other individuals in the real estate world, like appraisers, inspectors, surveyors, things like that. So if you don't know somebody and you need a reputable person, you want to seek out a professional like a realtor that has relationships already established with these people.
That's a look. So what about, okay, so a lot of people do rent. You know, you pretty much start out renting or whatever. What is your take on home ownership versus renting?
So, like,
no, go ahead.
Yeah, so like home ownership versus renting, there are tax benefits for home ownership. There is, you know, you don't have to be responsible for repairs or anything as a renter. However, if you're talking about starting to create generational wealth, real estate is one of the top ways to do it. So with that being said, establishing a property, living in it over time, building up equity, you'll be able to leverage that into acquiring other properties. So if you're renting, you're paying a mortgage, you're just paying somebody else's.
So then why do I need equity? Like, what is the purpose of equity? Because, I mean, people hear that all the time. So does it benefit me, you know, if I walk into the house with equity or if I own equity? Like, what is that? Or what does that look like?
So equity is the amount of money that you have available to you. So let's say you purchase a house for $200,000, and in 2 years is $250,000. You have $50,000 worth of equity that you can use that to either make improvements on the property to build up and catch it up to the current market, or you can take that out and invest it and purchase another property. Use that as like a down payment.
Oh, okay.
When would you tell someone that's renting, that's considering buying a home? When does a person know that they're ready? Is there a certain income, certain savings that they would need to kind of start the home buying process?
So now it's getting a little tougher, especially during COVID, because a lot of programs are starting to dry up, like down payment assistance. And even with credit scores, I've seen lenders starting to increase their requirements on what they want the buyers to have as far as credit score. So the lower your credit score, higher interest rate, and contingencies and things like that. So if you're interested in buying, I would say, you know, talk with the realtor, talk with the lender, start putting a plan together, because in the future, we may not have the resources available that we have now or previously. So you may have to have your own money for your closing costs, where you can't rely on down payment assistance. So these are the type of things you want to take into effect as far as your planning strategy goes.
And I had a question about, because when Brandy was purchasing her home, she was very disciplined in her spending. Mm-hmm. Explain why that is so important when you're thinking about buying a home. What's the correlation between that and learning that I may need to be a little bit more disciplined in my spending than usual?
Yeah, and not only that, even just for a little while, live beneath your means. I know, like, everybody wants the convenience and wants the nice new car and things like that, but if it's in the way of you starting to save money where you can put that towards your down payment and closing costs, I mean, sometimes you have to sacrifice. So, and being a good steward of what you're doing with your money, and there are do's and don'ts when it comes to, once you're getting a home loan, you got to stay current on all your bills. If you have any collections or anything, take care of those. You don't want to like start any new lines of credit or anything. Like, you got to keep, basically do what you've been doing and don't deviate from that. So if you already have a good strategy and following that, you just got to continue that throughout the whole process.
But if you don't have a good strategy, let's say you rocking that, 520 credit score, and maybe you have a few late charges, you know, a few collections from when you was in college, but you just kind of said, 7 years, I'm moving forward, I'm not looking back. What are some things, some tools or strategies that you should probably put in place if you're thinking about purchasing a home?
I would say, even like from a real estate standpoint, even contact a realtor. If you don't have someone that helps with creative repair, that's what I would say, start there, because there are so many things that you can do without having to spend a lot of money that can help increase your score. My credit was bad when I first came out of college. I was in 500s and I couldn't, every credit card I applied for rejected me. So I ended up having to get a secure credit card and work my way up. So it took me a little longer, but I think if I had a credit repair person that I worked with, it would have happened faster.
I would also say with all of that, because they be in all your business mm-hmm. home buying process. But one thing that I can definitely say is you told me when I was ready, with the situation, because mm-hmm. it was several times I was hey, let's go look at this house. You was nope, because by the time you ready, it will be off the market. And mm-hmm. my feelings, I was mad and upset and hurt. No, I'm ready now. You would fall back with, so stop going to brunch, and Sunday Funday had to get cut out. Had to do that. So, yes, Sam, your facial expression.
I'm just processing.
Yeah.
If you used to going out popping, five bottles, maybe you have to cut it down to one or two. It's certain things you just have to do to stay focused on the end goal. So once you Brandy's in her house now. So when she gets back up and running, it's back to Sunday fun days.
Don't think we didn't hear about it. Okay.
Sunday fun days at her house.
Brandy definitely was not happy about some of them cuts you made her make.
It may hurt. It's definitely gonna take you out your comfort zone. But like the quote says, nothing grows in your comfort zone anyway. So,
what about down payments? How much should you be setting aside for down payments? I know it depends upon the cost of the house, but is it 5%, 2%, 10%?
So, and there are various different types of loans. So FHA is typically 3.5%. And then you have your conventional loans, and that can be different ones, 3%, 5%, 10%, 20%. It's just going to depend on what the lender qualifies you for and what you're available to pay out of pocket. I was going to say, some lenders have grants, but like I said, and participating down payment assistance programs, but with everything that's going on right now, things are just crazy. So these things may not be available. So that's why I said it's good to start living beneath your means, to start to save more money, because you may have to come up with your own later.
So are you seeing more millennials buying homes? Not necessarily just in COVID. We are in COVID, so and we're gonna talk about that as well. Are millennials buying homes? Who is the buying power right now? Or is this a buyer's market or a seller? And is this a buyer's market or a seller's market?
So, and that's a loaded question, because it depends. Houston is so big and hyper-local, it could be super hot in one area and just dead in another. So with what I see a lot with millennials, for convenience, they want to be in the mix where everything is. But those areas, the Heights, Midtown, Downtown, are expensive. So a lot of them are renting.
So, so then is that probably the reason why millennials are not going into home ownership? Because they want to be in Houston, we call it inside the loop. So,
right. And they want those conveniences. They want to be close to the supermarkets, to wherever they're working out, to the clubs, the bars, and those are all pretty much in the loop. And everything in the loop is expensive.
So then who are you seeing buying homes? Who is your clientele? If it's not, so we pretty much saying millennials trying to kick it and party. So they not.
Which is sad, but, because millennials really are nearing their 40s. So.
But, and that's the thing too, it's not all of them, because some are buying homes, but they have those jobs that afford them the opportunity to buy in those areas. But if you don't have that income to be able to afford it, then you're kind of stuck either renting or finding somewhere to live outside of that area.
Yes, because I noticed that you said, Chris, live beneath your means,
right?
Instead of within.
So or being house poor. I think that's the other the other thing. I know just for me personally, I don't want to be house poor. And it's cute to say I bought a house, but if you can't do anything outside of your house, that's great for some people, but I like to travel. So I'm not traveling to my backyard.
So many people love to travel and do different things. When you have to pay a mortgage, which is taking up a big chunk of your check every month, then you're kind of, house poor, you're stuck in the house.
And Chris, what are some other expenses? Because I know for me, a lot of people say, oh, well, you should buy a house if you rent an apartment, because your rent is the same amount as your mortgage. Yeah, but HOA fees, property taxes,
water
maintenance. You know, there are other expenses that when you're looking for a home, what should you also be considering aside from, I got approved for this mortgage, so I'm good to go.
And that's a big thing because not just the mortgage, like you said, HOA. And if you're in the outskirts of Houston, you're 9 times out of 10 going to be in the HOA. There are areas that don't have it, but for the majority, they do. And people don't realize property taxes will make or break if you get this house or not. So depending on where you look, like a lot of people don't realize, even Pearland's got some of the highest property taxes. And you're thinking, all right, I'm not in Houston. I'm going to go a little outside. Nah, they're killing people down there in some places. So you got to be strategic on like where you want to be, what you want to spend a month, things like that. And then like all those numbers play a part. So
Should you come up with a number that, okay, this is my bottom line, including everything, this is how much I'm going to spend. And then we call you and say, Chris, don't take me to no house that I can't afford. Because you know, salesmen, that y'all love to do that. Look at this beautiful house. You fall in love with the house. I can't afford this house. Why'd you bring me here?
See, I wouldn't do you like that. And that's the thing. So you definitely want to set your monthly budget. Tell your lender, this is how much I want to pay. Because, for example, you can be pre-approved based on your income for 500 grand, but if you're only wanting to spend like 1500 a month, that's not going to be a $500,000 house. So even though you're approved for that amount, we're not going to look for that because that's outside of what you're looking for based on what you want to spend a month.
I have a question and I want to go backwards just a minute. What are your suggestions for persons that are looking to find a realtor? What are things that they should be looking out for when they're looking for a realtor?
Somebody that listens. Like you said, realtors will take you to the house that you can't afford. So somebody that's going to listen to exactly what you need, location, price, all the amenities and things that you're looking for, and be able to package that in a list of available properties to really show you like this is what, you know, we sat down and talked about. And anything outside of that, that just means that that realtor wasn't listening to you.
So do you find it like now during the pandemic, are people still trying to buy homes or selling their homes?
A lot of people are buying because interest rates are still pretty low right now. So people are trying to take advantage of that because that we can't predict the future or what's going to happen with interest rates. So while they are this low in the threes, people are trying to jump on it so they can lock their property in.
And are you also seeing that in your overall experience, do you see are Black people basically being, what am I trying to say? Are Black people still getting approved for loans? Like, do you see that there's a disparity between, you know, Black home ownership versus like other race home ownership?
No, I wouldn't say during this. I've had experiences in the past where I've had people that are ready, but then like I said, low credit scores will disqualify them. And they may have the money, but then the credit hurts them. So like, credit is so important when securing a home, securing a good interest rate. And it is really backwards. It's like, if you have a low credit score, you need the most help, but they punish you the most if you got the lowest credit score in the
yeah, because credit. you don't pay your bills.
Right. So if you're not they're like, if you're not trustworthy with this stuff, how I know you're going to be trustworthy with this money I'm giving you?
Well, or for people that do have low credit scores, there's two ways to have low credit scores. It's without paying your bills, or some people don't have credit. Like, I walked out of college and I didn't have any debt. So my credit score looked low because I just didn't have anything in my name. And so, because my parents were like, we're not going to let you run through credit cards. So then you have to build up credit that way. So everybody's not paying their bills. Some people are just paying with cash.
Yeah, and that's that's almost just as bad when you don't have established credit. So, some tricks that I've learned along the way where parents will put their kids on their mortgage or on their credit cards, and by the time they're adults, they got like 700-800s, and they're good to go. They're set up.
Well, we do that too, but it's mostly like lights, and then it's like you go the other way.
But it's got to be
by the time you're an adult, you got a TXU bill. Like,
right. So yeah, definitely got to be smart with it.
So I want to like kind of shift the conversation a little bit into like real estate investment, because you had mentioned earlier. So when it comes to real estate investment, so say for instance, even if I just still want to rent, I'm a in the loop person. You know, but I want to go. Yeah, I'm a looper, but I necessarily don't want to live in a house because I'm living my best life, you know, in the loop, naturally from, you know, where everything is popping. So, but I want to invest in some real estate. Like, how does that work? Like, am I going to go buy me a house and flip it? Or, you know, like, how does that, like, run us through real estate investment real quick?
That's another loaded question, because there are so many different avenues in real estate investing that you can go into, because you mentioned flipping, but then that's just when you buy a house and sell it. But then you also have what they call buy and hold, where you become a landlord and you rent the property out to a tenant.
Oh, so talk about that then. Like, then, because I thought that was like flipping a house.
No, flipping is just reselling after you buy it. Oh, you might fix it up or something and then turn around and sell it. But the buying and holding is the way to start creating wealth, because that's going to be continuously coming into your account month after month. So you're hopefully finding a tenant paying more than what you owe on the mortgage. So so you're making a profit. So that's when you start being able to build that wealth. And then once you start doing that a couple of times, and you may want to apply for a loan to secure another property as an investor, and then the bank sees like, oh, you got some success over here already with these other ones. Yeah, we'll give you whatever you want.
So then,
can you start off like with that?
They say whatever you want.
Well, not $1 million.
can your first home be a buy and hold, or do you have to have a residential property first and then you get a buy and hold?
No, you don't. And some people like, they call it house hacking, where you buy a property, live in it while you fix it up, and then move out and then rent it out. Okay. So you can utilize that, because there's a tax benefit too, because the house that you live in, you get what they call homestead exemption, which saves you a certain percentage on your property taxes. So as an investor, once you own a property, you're just paying the full property taxes flat out if you don't live in that property.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so Brandy, I'll send you the application for filing your homestead January 1st.
this homeowner thing, I mean, you know, I got to buy grass and stuff.
So you just brought up a good point, though. You said you're going to send her something in January to file her taxes. When does the real estate or the realtor client relationship end? Is it after she signs, a person signs the paperwork and they get the keys? Is that how that works?
It never ends. I'm Brandy's realtor for life. So, and like I said, as a full-time realtor, I have connections. Let's say Brandy wants to do something where she wants to update something in the house or change something. She needs a contractor. I have contractors that I refer to clients. And like, for example, like we're talking about homestead exemption, you can only file it the year after you bought your house. So for 2020, since you bought in 2020, you can't file until 21. So just keeping those things in mind, because she's working full time. She's not thinking about property taxes and homestead exemptions off the top of her head. So
She should be.
Yes, she is, baby.
That's important.
My job to remind her.
If she's not, she needs to be. Hello.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, and we're watching interest rates all the time. So over time, if they fall again, it may be a good time for her to refinance. So I'll reach out to her for that. It's a relationship. With my clients, they're family. So she's got me for life.
So I have a question. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying that you're saying when you're looking for a realtor, make sure you feel a realtor that you're comfortable with because some realtors will fall off once you get the keys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Chris, I have a question, and this is from a selling side when you're selling a home. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of family law, and a lot of times when we're trying to put the house on the market or we're advising clients, hey, you need to put the house on the market, these are individuals who sometimes are negative in interest.
Okay.
Can you explain to the listeners what is negative equity? And if you're in that position and you need to get out of that position, what is the best way to do that, if anyway?
Yeah, that's a tough one because just like we're talking about positive equity, if you have, like, let's say the balances on the house is 200, but then it's improved so much in the area that they're saying that it's valued at 250, that's positive equity. The same thing in reverse would be negative equity. Let's say the area takes a downturn or the economy does and buyers aren't buying like they were. That's gonna affect you negatively. So in that case, is really tough. That's a tough spot to be in because there, if you really have to sell, it's not many options that you can take. Mm. I mean, even like from a real estate standpoint, even if you decide to sell on your own without a realtor, which is something that you can do, you're still putting yourself at risk because you're not familiar enough with the process and the documentation that you need to get it done. You still ended up putting yourself at a financial risk if something is done incorrectly.
So maybe you should refinance if possible to lower your cost, I guess, of the house.
Yeah, you could refinance. You can reach out to your lender, to your bank, and there's it's possible they can agree to do what they call a short sale, which doesn't mean you sell it really quick. That just means that they're willing to take a lower amount than what you owe on the loan to get it sold. So they're like, okay, we'd rather take something than nothing. Yeah, over time, maybe having to foreclose on somebody or something like that.
So Chris basically said in so many words, if you have negative equity, do not call me. Just work it out. I mean, work it out on your own. We got it, Chris.
I'm always here to answer questions, though. I'm always here to help.
Don't do that. Somebody else that needs a house. Right.
Just
take them. We'll have a conversation.
Just take them.
Well, yep. We're coming to the end of the show. So, Chris, this is the part of the show where we call, like, rest my case. And whenever, regardless if it's real estate or anything in the world that you just want to rest, let go, want it to just die in 2020 and not bring it back up. So, I'm going to let T-Hutch start. Is there anything you want to lay to rest today?
That's what I was thinking about. I think just with purchasing homes, and I kind of already mentioned it, I think finding something that's comfortable and in your budget is super important, and making sure that you're not trying to keep up with the Joneses to make sure that you can really afford it. Because I know for a person like me, I like nice things. I like to travel. And I don't want to get a house and then all that has to stop because I was trying to keep up with someone else who's never going to pay a bill, who's never, you know, going to pay a mortgage or anything like that. So get something that's comfortable for you, and you can always build up to that. But I think starting in a place that's comfortable for you so you can still live your best life, I think that's the way we should be going these days.
Sam?
I'm going to piggyback off of Taria a little bit, and I'm going to talk about, like, when you are purchasing a home, stop watching HGTV and House Hunters and thinking that that process is going to go smoothly like that. House Hunters has already pre-selected those people. They've already looked at the house, and most of the time they've already been pre-approved. So with that being said, don't try to be cute and waste realtor's time looking at something, again, you can't afford, or that you can afford the mortgage, but when you talk about property taxes, because they will come and get your house if you don't pay those, if you can't afford the location, take that into consideration, okay? Turn off HGTV, turn on Dave Ramsey, create you a budget, and move forward.
I like that. Well, y'all know House Hunters reached out to me, so.
I will tune in, Brandy.
No, I turned it down. I declined. It wasn't working in my schedule. It couldn't fit in my schedule. Because with House Hunters, how it works, I'm putting the tea out there. They already got the sites. So you have to already have clothes on your house. You have to have clothes, and you have to, and you cannot move in. So I was like, I got furniture coming. I can't keep pushing my dates back. I don't know when y'all trying to record. So you have to have, so when they pick their house at the end, you have to have already clothes. It is yours.
Brandy, don't tell my mama that. That's her favorite show. Don't tell her that. She when I go to my mama's house, we really have to sit and pick which house they gonna pick.
Okay. Well, you're still trying to figure out which house they picked, but one of those houses is their actual house. So at the
end, House Hunted.
Well, no, and then the other houses are usually, aren't they like their friends and family houses? They're not even like, their houses.
No, they're other houses, because what they wanted Chris to do, because Chris was going to, he's my realtor, Chris was going to sit with them and actually just choose other two houses to look at.
We were going to actually don't go tell Chris home. Game. Chris want to be on House Hunters.
Right.
Listen.
CJ sells Texas.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Y'all could have put on a whole show. Me and Taria could have showed up. We're her two friends. We're helping her.
Like, that's ugly. That won't work.
Right. We could have did a whole podcast on House Hunters.
That arch is too
call
tall.
Call them back, Brandy.
Right.
Call them back.
I've already moved in my house. They don't want me now. They would have to move everything out of the house.
Well,
get a pod. What you? Yeah. I don't
know. You haven't put up the pod yet.
I don't understand.
All I want to lay to rest basically is the fact that I just, not necessarily lay to rest. I want our Black people, I understand if you live in a loop, you love renting, that is so awesome and so great. But I want Black people to start buying versus renting. Or if you want to stay renting, then get you like a real estate property and rent out. Cause I'm harping on generational wealth, because like I said, we gotta move our community forward. So as a first-time home buyer, I'm trying to encourage everybody to get a home. Don't be house poor. Don't be house poor. And don't focus on what anybody say, like, you know, if you love Pearland but you can't afford Pearland, that's okay. And the property taxes is almost 4% right about now. But
keep driving.
Just get somewhere. You can stay in your house for 5 to 7, maybe 10 years if you want, and you can rent it out, and then you can go back into your favorite spot and upgrade. But I am pushing home ownership for all my home ownership.
Or you could even do short term, like Airbnb. I know a lot of people mm-hmm. who they just do Airbnb, and that yep. helps pay for their mortgage.
Yeah.
Depending on how nice your house is.
Right. So, Chris, what's your later rest? What do you want to like? Do you have a later rest?
Yeah, I'm going to later rest the mindset of instant gratification, where, you know, like we're talking about, I want it now. In a lot of cases for people, you can't have it right now. Like we were talking about, all right, we got to put a plan together, get these savings up and get this credit up, and then we can get what we want. But a lot of us want it right now, and it just doesn't happen. And then we say, okay, it ain't meant to be. You just don't want to put in the work. So I want to lay that to rest.
That is, it's work. It's mm-hmm. patience. All patience. Well, thank
you. So you mean to tell me that if I want to buy a house tomorrow, I just can't up and call Chris Sells Texas, and you're going to find me this $1 million house with a $5 mortgage?
when you call me, we're going to sit down and have a talk first anyway. So we're going to have a consultation.
If you find a $1 million house with a $5 mortgage, then we put my house on the market because I want that house.
No, stay focused.
I got mine through House Hunter.
Right. We just said, don't try to keep up with the Joneses. You found what you like.
Exactly. That was your line.
I want $5 mortgage for $1 million house. I want that.
But that, okay, because I'll be in there for 2 minutes because you got to pay the maintenance.
Yes, you do.
Well, thank you, Chris, for being a part of our show. Let everybody know where they can contact you. You know, if they're looking to buy, sell their house, you know, let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, phone number. How can they reach out?
Oh, yeah, I'm on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at CJSalesTX, like in the back. Or you can give me a call, 832-33182, or email CJSalesTX@gmail.com.
Cool beans. Sam, are we following you today?
Y'all gonna follow me to CJ Sales, Texas, and we're gonna get this plan together. We're gonna work on this budget. And then I'm gonna be like Brandy and buy me a house too.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Damn.
You can follow me on Instagram at Simply Being T. And then CJ Sells Texas. Can you refer me to a realtor?
I sure can. I know a great one.
Okay. CJ, some all money ain't good money. You don't want to win.
Right.
Unless you got a Xanax prescription. You don't want that.
Stop. He's known me for years. Okay. I get better. I'm like wine. It's get better with time.
There you go.
Ooh, wait.
Well, you got
to have your River Oaks.
Right.
In the high rise.
You can follow me at @Brand_Janae, and you can follow us at No Further Questions on Facebook, No Further Q on Instagram, and NFQ Pod on Twitter. So thank y'all for tuning in. Let's get up. Let's improve this home ownership in the Black community. And we are out. Bye.